You're listening to Less Stress in Life with hosts Deb Timmerman and Barb Fletcher. We believe life with less stress and more energy is possible with the right tools, strategies, and knowledge. So we bring you real conversations around the stress of relationships, money, and the daily hassles of life with guests that will inspire, challenge, entertain, and motivate you to take action.
Hey, good morning. Deb Timmerman and Barb Fletcher here. So glad you could tune in and be with us today. Our guest is Rebecca Thomas. She's a successful life coach living in the Grand Rapids, Michigan area. With her high energy, contagious confidence, and natural ability to lead, she's been teaching women to show up for themselves in a big way, unapologetic ways, helping them reclaim their power, live intentionally, and do life their way and with their rules. So today, she'll share some of her insights and expertise, and most importantly, her journey with us. Welcome, Rebecca.
Hello, ladies. Hello, everybody. Hello. It's so good to be here.
So you've had quite the life journey and a few bumps along the way. Just share the essence of your journey to get us started, if you will.
Okay. So if you want to start with the very first thing, I'd have to go back to when I was younger, when I was less than 2 years old. My dad actually took me without my mom's permission, basically kidnapped me and sent me back to my grandparents to live while he was still in the military. So they ended up raising me for a few years while he was still enlisted. And then he got out we stayed at my grandparents even after he got out for a couple of years till he found a little house in the country, and we moved there together. And then he married a second wife, and they had several children, my brothers and sisters. And I didn't have a real close relationship with my mom for a long time because of how everything played out and where she ended up even physically located because of her remarriage to my stepdad, who's also like a dad to me, and just went through a whole course of events, like one thing after another, it seemed like. I ran away from home when I was 16. I didn't graduate from high school because I was actually working two jobs and falling asleep in class. So there was that. I ended up getting my GED eventually, but I also eloped when I was 18, moved to Hawaii with a practical stranger, was married to him for a few years, and that wasn't a good relationship at all. And then ended up eventually meeting my son's father, getting into another not so great relationship. And after breaking that off and doing a lot of personal growth, I ended up losing my younger brother when he was 26 years old. He became a quadriplegic when he was 20 and just struggled with that for several years, and got to a point where he couldn't struggle with it anymore. And it felt like literally watching his soul kind of wither in front of you because he was losing hope and didn't feel like he had purpose either compared to before his accident. So I lost him when he was 26, and then exactly 1 year later to the day, lost the man I thought I was going to spend the rest of my life with. We'd been in a relationship for 3 years. So it was definitely a long string of events. Looking back, one of the things I can say that helped me persist through all of that is one of my aunts always calls me Pollyanna. Because I'm just always optimistic and have this light about me. And that doesn't mean that I don't feel pain, and really deep, heavy emotions and suffering too, but I always go back to that light and focus on the things that I'm grateful for. And that's what's been able to help me navigate everything in such a way, even before I got to a point where I'd done so much personal growth.
Wow. I think when we met to talk about doing this podcast together, we talked about those crazy stories that if you told the people about what happened, they wouldn't believe it because they're surreal. So many that happen along the way. So this pile of adversity, if you will, what was the most stressful time in your life out of all of those?
I mean, the most stressful was definitely when I lost my brother. Compounded by when I lost my significant other exactly a year later. So I'd been helping my brother for probably 2 or 3 years, doing some kind of accounting work, helping him with his caregivers, his finances, things like that, touching in once a week. Like I lived in Lansing at the time. I would drive to Grand Rapids once a week. Some days we would get a lot of work done, and other days we would just talk for 4, 5, 6, 7 hours. So we were actually in a really, really good space when he passed away. But I was also the executor of the estate. On that side, I have three younger siblings, and then he had two step siblings on his mom's side. So when you talk about benefactors of the estate, there were nine of us, and I had to oversee all of that as well as be the emotional foundation and the security and the support for most of the family while we were navigating all this, because it was such an incredible loss for all of us. I mean, I can't imagine for my dad and his mom, like losing a child at 26 years old and everything that that comes with, but then he was just amazing. Like, he had the best spirit. So navigating all of that was a lot. And then exactly 1 year later to suddenly lose the man that I thought I was going to spend my life with, it was a completely different kind of loss and still grief, but in a different way, and losing some of the things with him that had helped me become a different person that I didn't lose with my brother. So that was definitely the most stressful time in my life.
You know, when I listen to your experiences, I mean, I feel overwhelmed inside of me. And I wonder, is there something that gave you the courage to continue? Was there something that the light or the beacon that you might have followed during that time?
I think when my brother passed away, it was definitely like, that's just who I am. Being the oldest, we have our own tendencies, which is to be the keeper and the navigator and the anticipator of all of the things, which I definitely was. But because I had my significant other, I could lean on him at the end of the day. So I could show up as that stronghold during the day, but then I still had somebody who could tend to my needs at night. So that was definitely a big piece of that. When I lost him, my significant other, my son became the motivator, because I definitely sunk into a depression for a period. It hit me so hard. He was my confidant. He was my best friend. He was the one that taught me to love myself so much. So he brought out so many of these amazing and beautiful pieces to me. And it showed me it was an incredibly healthy relationship, the first really healthy relationship I'd ever been in romantically. So there were just so many different things with that I lost. And so what got me through that was knowing that I needed to be there for my son at the end of the day, but then also going back to that Pollyanna piece, I always have been able to plug into the things that bring me joy. And I can remember there was a trail by our house, a walking trail next to a creek. I love nature. And so I can remember, especially right after he passed away, one of the things I would do quite often was to go out and get into nature. But then I can remember paying attention to the bees and the birds and the blooming flowers and the deer that I would see during the day. So just making sure that, not even intentionally, but focusing on those things that still brought me joy and allowing that light in, eventually helped tip the scales where, okay, you're feeling a lot of dark and heavy and grief right now, but that piece of joy is there, and keep plugging into that. And eventually that shifted. But then also processing my feelings, not feeling like I needed to grieve a certain way, because that's a thing. And also giving myself permission to feel the loss in a different way compared to my brother. So I didn't have any guilt. I didn't try to make anybody else feel comfortable in the way that I was grieving. I grieved how I needed to. And that's definitely a huge reason why I was able to move through that so gracefully while still feeling all those feelings.
Rebecca, when I introduced you with your bio, you talk about helping clients reclaim their power and doing it their way. What you just described was healing in your way and taking back that power. What inspired you to become a coach and to use those skills to help other women?
So, fun fact, I used to be an Airbnb hostess. And not only was I an Airbnb hostess, but I also did it right out of my home. So we shared a bedroom in our home with guests from the Airbnb platform, and they had complete access to, not complete, but they had pretty big, major access to our house. We had all shared living spaces, including the outdoor spaces like the deck. I worked from home, so I was pretty accessible too. And I had right in my description, just to set the expectation, like I'm as an accessible or as like offhand as you need me to be. And I was really good at gauging like how much people wanted to be around. But just having some really amazing conversations and experiences with my guests as they were in my home, like these are complete strangers. I have no idea what walk of life they're going through, where they're from or what they're doing, all different ages, religions, races, culture, like all of the things. And being able to have just really amazing conversations with them about deep things. Like we weren't having surface conversations. We were having really deep conversations. And it went back to that piece of being able to hold space for people. So that was the thing. It's so interesting looking back because the house I was in that I was doing that through was the house that my brother left me. So looking back, like seeing those pieces and how they played together, I had that space because he gave it to me, and that facilitated that piece, which led to me life coaching, because as I was doing personal growth and connecting with all these strangers in my home, I realized like I heard life coach one day and I was like, That's the thing, hands down, no questions at all. And then just jumped right into it.
Wow, that's an amazing story. So what tips and strategies would you share for those who might resonate with that feeling of being stuck or not being able to move through things that they might be grieving or not wanting in their life anymore?
I always start with stop judging and stop trying to find solutions. As understanding and solutions, like those are great at the end of the day, but when we're stuck in having to do something or shooting ourselves, that's where we miss the beauty of it and also create a lot of resistance. So making sure that you're just curious and aware of how am I feeling? Why do I feel that way? Do I want to feel that way? That's a big question that I ask a lot. And being able to navigate things that way. But another thing I love to talk about is, so one of my favorite authors is Carolyn Mace. And she talks about the heart and the mind and how when they are not on the same channel or when they can't even have like a common factor to meet on, that's where the resistance and the disconnection comes from. So I talk about that a lot too, because everything in your heart and everything in your mind don't have to be on the same page. Your feelings aren't going to make sense. Your experiences are going to be hard. You're still going to have things that you have to do at the end of the day and responsibilities and obligations. But when you can find that common factor that you can agree on and get on the same page with and focus on that, that can help you move forward instead of sitting in that resistance.
You're talking our language.
Weird.
Yeah, the language of the heart, it speaks volumes. What are some of the ways that you help women get reconnected to their heart? Or maybe you're working with not only women, but guys too.
Mm-hmm. I mean, going back to that piece again of not judging and getting curious with yourself and just paying attention to what's going on. And giving yourself permission to feel whatever that is and let it go where it is and not having it be a solution or something you have to do, but just being and feeling and starting there is a really good place to start.
And that's so difficult today because we have so many outside channels, news channels, magazines, print, social media, telling us what we should do or what they perceive that we should do. And it's so difficult to fit in that space and sit there with that discomfort because we're told that we need to be in that space of knowing, having to know it all at one time. How do women sit there? How long do they sit there? What's that process like with you?
I mean, with me, it's going to be different with everybody because it's based on your needs, not on what somebody's telling you that you should or shouldn't be doing. So I would say start small and then pay attention to how you feel after the fact. So if you start with 5 minutes, how does that feel? You know, if you start with 10 minutes, how does that feel? Because for some of us, like for myself, I feel a lot of pressure around timing things. So if I, and I'm also very good at time management, but that also means that I'm very aware of what the time is, which is a double-edged sword sometimes. So for those of us that are like that, you know, if you try saying like, you need to go sit still with yourself for 30 minutes, and then we add up, but I have to do this and this and this and this, and start tapping into that. And how am I going to fit that into my day? Like that totally takes away from what you're trying to do. And if you can't simply be for 5 minutes, what in the world makes you think that you can sit there for 30 minutes? Like that's going to be pure torture on so many different levels. So it's just playing with it and figuring out, like for me, one of my ways of being and sitting still and getting in that space is first thing in the morning. I'm a morning person all day, every day. And my big, one of the things people will see when they look at my social media is soul shine. I go out in the morning, I find the sunshine, I drink it in, but it gives me that peace and just that time to myself and hearing nature and watching the hummingbirds or the butterflies or all of those different things. That's what helps me just be, is just being aware, being there without any kind of agenda or feeling like I'm checking off some kind of box.
Yeah, quieting those stories that our mind tells is not always an easy experience. And so nature is, in fact, one of the most wonderful ways, isn't it?
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
Yeah, and what you just described was having a morning practice. So do you start your day that way every day?
As often as possible, which is the majority of the time. I mean, I work from home, I'm self-employed, that definitely makes it a lot easier. But it's also, I know that it's one of my non-negotiables, because if I don't get that, it has a way of shifting my entire day and just feeling kind of frenzied and hurried and not fulfilled and something's kind of missing. So when I do that, it not only gives me a chance to slow down, but then it's something I can share with other people too. Like I am definitely one of those people, if I'm sitting there and I see something that I feel is particular beautiful, which is pretty often, I'll share it with a friend. And it's just that it's our moment of connection in the morning too.
Lovely.
So if somebody's struggling to take action, what is that one piece of advice you give them about moving forward?
Stop overthinking it. That would be the first thing I would say, is stop overthinking it. Like, we do ourselves a huge injustice in thinking that we either do or should recognize what that next step is going to be, instead of just trusting the thing and doing the thing and realizing that we can change our minds or pivot at any moment. So it's really not as serious as we treat it like it is. But don't overthink it, and then don't be scared of big change. Like, again, going back to Carolyn Mace, one of her quotes that she says that I absolutely love is, we're not here to get it, we're here to do it. So like all of the understanding and awareness is amazing, but if you're not actually taking action, it doesn't really mean anything. It's just another way of procrastinating and staying small. So, you know, not making that the thing, like take action, let it be what it is, and be open to the amazing things that can happen when you take big action. And try not to be too scared of those big changes, because that's definitely that keeps us stuck too.
Yes, this is not a passive thing. Taking care of these things is an active process. And little tiny steps that we can take, they yield such big results. I think when I started down this whole path, it was one tiny step at a time, itty bitty. And some days it was as simple as finding 2 minutes for myself or using an essential oil that took me to a place that I really loved. I mean, they don't have to be huge monumental leaps, but when you do them over time, they make such an impact in your life.
One of my favorite tools for that too, because I come from, so my dad is a huge procrastinator. Sorry, Dad, but he is. And so I naturally had some of those tendencies, and especially as an adult. So when I started doing a lot of personal growth and working through those things, I was struggling with that piece. Like, procrastinating is horrible. It's so, you know, it does an injustice on so many different levels. And I heard something one day that really helped me reframe it. And I love sharing this with my clients too. And that's when you think about taking action and getting things done, refer back to ROI, but it's not return on investment. It's return on implementation. So what are you actually implementing? What are you doing? What's the action that you're taking that's going to move the needle? And if it's not going to move the needle, why are you focusing your time and energy there?
Well, and we all know when we get into that procrastination space and all those little stories pop in our head, we're not moving the needle at all, are we? We're sitting in that muck and junk. So if our folks want to reach out to you, where do they find you, Rebecca? Barb, any other questions before we wrap up and call this a session?
No, I'm just, Rebecca's story is so inspirational and our energy level is so high. It's hard not to be enthused at the end of it.
Thank you.
Since this is a podcast, you can't see the beautiful radiance that's coming from her. I hope you can feel that energy. So we're so happy that you joined us today. Thanks so much for sharing your journey and some of the intimate details that were maybe uncomfortable at some point. We hope that Rebecca's story helped you want to be motivated to take action. We know sometimes it's difficult to find that inspiration, but we really want to help you move from being stressed to being your best. So reach out to Rebecca, reach out to us. We'd love to have the conversation to get you started on your way.
It's great to be here, ladies. Thank you.
Less stress in life is possible. If you're new to this kind of thinking and would like to explore what's possible for you, we'd love to connect. You can reach us through our website at lessstressinlife.com. That's lessstressinlife.com.